You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
They won't put me in the movies. They're going to erase me from history. There's going to be this movie about a French lady who makes films. And all we got to do is be naturally.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out. I'm
there you go. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Oh, boy.
Now, this is the movie Be Natural. Now, you think, okay, what does that title have to do with anything? Well, I can't answer that question. But this movie is actually about a very famous French female director named Alice Guy Blache, who actually very sadly was a very early filmmaker in the early 1900s who was just kind of erased from history, more or less. Like, she stopped making movies around 1920 and then she just kind of vanished from existence.
Thanks, World War One.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, there were a lot of filmmakers who were threatened by that, like Georges Méliès, who just kind of vanished off the face of the earth until they rediscovered him. So World War One pretty much ruined everything for movies for a while.
Yeah, that was the worst thing to happen during that time period.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nothing else happened. Nothing
of import happened between 1914 and 18.
Well, so on this review here, it's me, Justin Zarian. And over here, we got Laura. How you doing?
Hello.
And then we got Alan. How are you doing, buddy?
Yes. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. So, you know, it's interesting. So this movie is being directed and, well, written technically by Pamela B. Green, who I'm not familiar with any of her other work. I know she's probably, you know, she seems to be one of those kind of low-level documentarians that kind of works within Hollywood.
She does titles. Title sequences and story sequences. And is known, I'm reading her IMDb thing right now, for creating title sequences and story sequences.
Oh, yeah.
Her knowledge of graphic design, animation, editorial, and archival.
Okay, yeah, no, I see it right here. She actually designed the title for Supergirl and The Flash for their title sequences.
Wait, which ones? The CW or the old ones?
No, CW. The CW.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess this is kind of her big step-up point. She's like, hey, there's this great story about this, you know, famous director who, you know, famous, you know, one of the very first woman director in Hollywood history, and she wants to get her story across. Now, what's interesting about this film is that I expected it to be much more about Alice Guy, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're going to show her films and talk about their importance and their thematic stuff. But this movie is a little bit more focused on being a mystery story, almost.
That's actually what I liked about it.
The discovery of it. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm kind of conflicted on that, because on the one hand, I get what they're trying to do. The idea is that they want to trace back all the history of Alice Guy to show the connective dots, like, you know, her cameraman who used to work for her, her relatives who descended from her, all just, you know, to pretty much give a full-fledged history of this.
The thing is,
I'm not conflicted at all. I loved how they showed us all this information, because it made it interesting and then relevant, and it sort of showed the discovery process of what goes behind making a documentary, how these things were first lost and then uncovered, and then how you figure out how it was lost.
Yeah, because
I loved it.
Because the thing is, it starts off as you think, like, oh, it's going to be how her technical work, what made her an artist, yada, yada. It does that for maybe 10 minutes, but then it goes, yeah, by the way, nobody knows who she is, because they go through a slew of, you know, directors that you probably know, people that you know in the industry now.
Pamela Green's famous list of guest stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's totally what it is.
And then it cuts to a true crime almost of like, yo, we got to figure out what happened to this woman. I was like, okay, now you got me in on this, because I love true crime documentaries more than anything.
Sure. I mean, and there's no, like, crime going on here in that sense, but it's got the vein of, like, the discovery kind of stuff, you know, of, like, exactly. She goes through and meets a bunch of, like, her granddaughters for Alice Guy. They meet the granddaughters and grandsons of other relatives. And that's the stuff that actually was the most interesting, was all those elements, because you talk to all these various film historians, you talk to all her family members, they uncover documents. One of the coolest sequences here, they show how do they restore old VHS tape footage. And I did not know that's how you did
great.
It. Yeah,
dude, the oven got me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And
I mean,
film. I mean, archives are crazy. I used to work in a library, and just you can smell everything just basically disintegrating, and it's just tragic. But you can't, you know, save it all. You just have to sort of pick and choose. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
They showed that.
And if all else fails, you can make a nice little meal out of that tape afterwards. You'll cook it to 400 degrees and then serve it on a platter.
If you want to die.
Yeah, dude, there's like nitrates in it. Silver now, nitrates. I'm just,
these like are the jokes,
really
guys.
Really poisonous.
No, but on the serious note, yeah, I liked a lot of that stuff a lot. I wasn't quite sure why they needed Jodie Foster to narrate a lot of this stuff. They had so many guest stars that it seemed kind of arbitrary to pick her out of everybody in this
producer,
movie.
Producer, and she speaks French, and she has a nice voice, mellifluous voice.
Yeah, she's very good at narrating. Like that's something I was really impressed by. And yeah, she's really good. When she's pulling the French stuff, like I almost looked it up. I'm like, are you part French? Because you are doing this really, really well, the French accents.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess so. And it's weird, like, I do admit that I kind of had my moments of tuning out in this movie, not because of what the stuff that was being said wasn't interesting, I just
Shame.
Felt like, okay, here's the thing, what I feel is that this is a incredibly informative documentary, it's very educational, and me as a film scholar and a film teacher, this is incredibly useful to share with students. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, this isn't the best produced documentary I've ever seen, you know, it's clearly made on scale, on a budget kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of sequences they try to do digital effects in, like, the beginning and the middle of the film, and they're okay, you know?
Well, I thought it sort of brought in... I liked how they brought in elements of old filmmaking and then showed us old and new together and sort of showed the production value of it back then based on now. I don't know, I sort of... liked how they tied that. I thought it was a good way to tie things together.
There was some good stuff there. Like, I think the best one was when they overlaid sequences of her short films on top of the locations in France. You're like, okay.
Yeah, that was a dope shot. Yeah.
That part was cool. I will give you that. That part was like, oh, I never would have guessed that. So.
No, there's a lot of stuff. Because I love watching documentaries. Like, every time I ever watch them, that's always something to do. And when things, yeah, I like when they're just having somebody that's talking to the camera as they're trying to explain stuff. And as they're going through, like, one of my favorite sequences was when they're trying to basically figure out the genealogy of her family tree. And it is just going across the world, like, the map sequence.
I liked that.
That was like, holy, this is interesting, because this is
Indiana Jones!
Event. Yeah, Indiana Jones.
I was surprised there wasn't an arrow, just like, da-da-da-da.
You might as well have put that there, or where in the world is Carmen Sandiego type stuff. Like, and it's like, yeah, it's really interesting, because, like, this movie is less about the film and more about this woman's legacy that they're trying to preserve.
Oh, yeah, no, yes. Now I want to see Harrison Ford go, this woman belongs in a museum. You know,
I mean, shit, but, yeah, she does belong in a museum.
No, she does, and that's actually one of the cool things is that, you know, obviously spoilers because it's a documentary, but there is a lot of stuff they have uncovered of her films, of her legacy and that such, and they're doing a lot to promote her now, like, you know, new exhibits, new museum features and that such. It's really, really cool. All this stuff. And I know one of my professors on campus here at Southern Illinois University is like the biggest Alice Guy fan ever. So I actually, believe it or not, I actually saw some of these short films earlier in my semester. And it's just like, oh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, especially that one, The Cabbage Fairy, that they kept promoting.
That one's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. It's terrifying and fascinating. But it just shows you, it's like, okay, this is different. And then one of the things that, you know, definitely my professor tried to promote, the fact that Alice Guy was one of the first few to have synchronized sound in her films, which I never would have suspected.
Oh, I know. That was tremendous. And how they would use both. I had no idea. They used both sides of a phonograph to do that, or, you know, wax.
Yeah, they describe it in the movie, and it's like, yeah, this is just how a music video is done nowadays.
Oh, no, that's pretty much, like, they pre-record the sound, and then they have the actors act out the music. So it's pretty much, yeah, early music videos that they
did. And in case you didn't hate Thomas Edison beforehand, which you should, because you should, continue to hate him, because that guy is a piece of garbage.
Yeah, and the good thing is, it's not just he's just hater, a meanie to women. He's a meanie to everybody. It's like
everybody.
Yeah, like he's like,
be an asshole.
Oh yeah, his licensing fees for film and that stuff. Just like, well, yeah, Hollywood pretty much exists because Edison was a giant dick to everybody, pretty much. So
Hollywood exists out of spite.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Could have been in Jersey.
Yeah. No, and that's again, all this stuff is super informative. It's super interesting. I guess just for me, I feel like I've seen better documentaries that have done this, but it's the subject matter that keeps this one going for me, you know?
And it was interesting, and I just found it, I just kept wanting to know, okay, where are we going? What are we going to find out? I mean, what's going on? Yeah, I've never heard of her either, and oh my god, this is so interesting, and...
Yeah, no, this is definitely...
Give me more!
This is definitely a film for, if you have any fascination with film history and the origin of film, this is probably essential viewing. Like, this
or
is
even
you
just
have.
History in general.
Well, yeah, like, oh, sure.
Because something that I noticed, like, from my science background, this reminds me of a woman named Rosalind Franklin, who basically helped discover the structure of DNA. I'm not bringing that up randomly, because this is almost the exact same situation of her, she just got completely overshadowed in her, in basically create in her own creation. And it's similar here. Where it's like there's so many people. Exactly, Marie Curie. Like these people get overshadowed because of this time period. So this is very important. It's like more so than the actual what she did is her legacy, like, is who she is. So that's why I'm glad they focus so heavily on just trying to get the audience to understand who she is. Because if you like me, I don't know anything about film. I know basically nothing. I know a little bit more maybe because of watching this documentary. But now I know a lot more about this monumental director. So it's like that's really important for what they're trying to go for.
Oh, absolutely.
And I thought that it was great that we got to see just how, you know, you could have these really influential people and then, you know what? History happens and it shows basically, well, you know, guess what? World War I hit everybody. This is what it did to her. And then World War II and the Depression. Not in that order. So then, you know, less one thing I don't know history, but it's things beyond your control have huge effects on history itself. And I like how they tied that in, but it wasn't like, okay, here's a historical drama and this is what's happening in this time. It made it interesting and relevant. And personal.
Yeah. No, it is very personal. And I think that really is apparent that Pamela Green was very invested in this. Like, you can feel that she really wanted to be a part of this legacy. And that's, to her credit, she does a great job in covering this stuff. It's just, it is a little weird seeing the guests that she gets on this thing. Because, I mean, there's a whole sequence where there's just an overlay of, like, several dozen people going, who is that? Who is that? I've never heard of her before. Who is that? Who is that? And it's just like, okay. But, you know, it's like, okay, there's usual, like, the film historians, that's really cool. There's a lot of famous directors. And then at some point, they highlight Andy Samberg as one of the people just like,
I love that sequence, because it's like, the whole thing is like, they're overlaying, because they do a lot of overlaying stuff in here. And one situation was one guy's like, yeah, a lot of the stuff they're doing in amateur film around the 1910s, 1920s is very similar to the YouTube stuff. And you kind of see the amateur YouTubers with the stuff from there. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I mean, getting Andy Samberg was probably overkill. But having him show up, it's like, yeah, this is very similar to stuff we're doing, but we were just fucking around. Whereas it's like,
sketch comedy, that's what it was.
And that's what they were doing back then. They were just like, because film was such a new genre, no one knew really what to do with. So people just did whatever the hell they wanted.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think that's all really great. I don't know if there's much else I have to say about this. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up as like key points to talk about?
No, I think people should watch it, though. It's great.
Yeah. Now then, I'll start off with a final thought, let you guys finish off. So, it's funny, watching this film, I thought a lot about another documentary that I really, really like a lot. Laura, you've seen this. Have you heard of Finding Vivian Maier?
I have not.
Oh, this great one where it's basically a similar-ish premise, but it's about this nanny who was, like, an amateur master photographer that no one knew about, and they just discovered a bunch of her old photographs, like, pretty much at a yard sale. And it's very much similar where they're trying to track her legacy and her history to find out who this artist is. And I feel like this is trying to emulate that in tone and theory, except that one was just a little bit better produced, where, again, this one, it's a very interesting topic, it's a very useful topic, it's very informative. I just feel like as a documentary itself, it has a few lulls in the second third of the film, where I'm just like, I guess I know what you're trying to tell me, but then it's when they got to the stuff that's really interesting near the end, and I start to wake up again. So, I don't know, I feel bad. I know, I'm a film historian, I should really appreciate this stuff, but I kind of came away with this feeling like I would give it 7.5 out of 10 big orange magnifying glasses. Yeah. So then, who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah, Laura, you go.
Oh, you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just throw it. Like I said, I want to bring it up like with the science background, because there's so many women in history that just get forgotten because of the male shuffle. And I'm glad that movies like this exist so that their new generations are like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened, and trying to restore things in history is super difficult. So I'm glad that the movie goes into that. They didn't just say, hey, we sent some dude in a lab, he did all the work. Like, no, here's the actual process. Like, that's what I liked about this. Like, I don't know what you're saying, like, this doesn't have good production value. I think everything in here is super interesting, because especially with something I know nothing about. So I'd give this definitely 9 out of 10 lost film reels. Like, this is a fucking great movie.
Awesome. All right, then, Laura?
I'm going to give this a 10, because I generally don't give things numbers, but I fucking love this movie. It did slow a little bit in the middle for me. I found myself drifting off, and I'm not quite sure why. But I think it was because there was so much information, I was just sort of thinking about it when I was watching it, if that makes any
sense. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like the stuff with Path and Gumon and a bunch of the other film people. I think that bogged it down a little bit because it was just a wall-to-wall of that nonstop.
Yeah, that could be part of it. And, you know, I wanted to sort of hit pause, but I would have had to get up and go across the room to do that, so I just didn't. But, you know,
do you have, like, a film? Do you have, like, knobs on your TV or something? Like, go across the room?
Remote?
Yeah, well, you know, but the way I had it hooked up, I had it, I, you know, technologically challenged in my house today. But I really enjoyed this. It was so fascinating. I would love to watch some of these films. You know, I'm a Turner movie buff. I love watching the old movies, you know, late at night when nothing else is on. Ha ha. Like, there's no movies to watch, right? But watching some of the old talkies and the old silence, are, it's fascinating to see how they are. And then to watch her films, to see these little bits of it and then realize how much better it was visually and storytelling wise than a lot of these films that were made after her, it's pretty awesome. So I loved this. I loved this information. I love her story, and I'm very happy to have seen this, and now I get to go do research on it because I love doing research. So
yeah,
if you like doing research, definitely watch this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, that's all I got to really say about that. Just, man, I need to make more movies. I feel like I'm not doing enough in my life after watching this.
Oh, don't worry. I know, me too. My God, what the hell happened? Oh, my God.
It's fine. In 100 years, someone will dig up some of the recordings, and they'll go through a giant title sequence to figure out who we are.
The untold story of oneofus.net.
Pretty much.
It's pretty much being untold right now anyways, but oh, well.
No, it's not. It's being actively told.
Have you seen our viewer count?
Oh, that was real.